Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Lexi with the curls.
And as you can see, there's somebody missing here today because Just Terrell is out in Mexico living his best life. And so thank you, Lexi, for actually filling in and helping us review this week's episode of 90 Day Fiancé.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. You know I love the show.
If you haven't been, you know, on his IG and actually searching in his stories and seeing him living his best life, I just want to share this with you. And everyone can see this. You see he's on the wave runner enjoying himself. You know, the water seems a little rough. That's good. But this is the, look at this Baywatch run. His Baywatch auditions. And I just want to point out to everybody, I did not slow that video down.
It's not slow motion. That was the live version.
That was top speed Terrell.
He looks like he's having a good old time. He must be enjoying himself.
He'll be back next week. And I'm sure, you know, as much as he pretends like he doesn't love this show, I know he's watching it today still. Yes. But, you know, we're just going to let him enjoy the time in Mexico. So you're here hanging out. Let's go and it's episode 9, season 9, episode 9, and so much happened this episode. Let's start with Bilal and Shahida.
I still don't like them together. Mm-hmm. I will say I'm being more compassionate for Shahida, only because, you know, like I mentioned when I was on the last episode, we are the same age and we're going after the same thing. We both want children, and I just don't like his attitude with her. I don't like his tone with her. I do feel like he's always lecturing her. She was mm-hmm. so right about that. I'm not feeling the lectures. He acts like he's her father.
However, I will say this. She's stepping over the line a bit with the kids, though. I mean, I like the fact that she had the time and showing his daughter how to cook in a traditional Trinidadian dish. Great. Mm-hmm. But when it gets to the name, now I agree with her in the fact that you don't call grown folks by their first name. If you're a child, you don't call grown folks by their first name. That is disrespectful. Man, mm-hmm. maybe that's just a cultural difference, but for me, that's not what we do. But it was always, it would have been Miss Shahida or Miss Shy or something like that, you know?
Okay.
But Umi? Nah, that's a little uncomfortable.
So I think that was too much, but I do feel like it is a cultural thing. I didn't grow up in a household with a step-parent, but most of my friends that did, they just called them by their first name. So I do think it's cultural. I wish that Shahida would have had...
Disrespectful-ass kids.
Right. I know. Maybe we are, but I do think we are. I actually call my mother by her first name. So, I mean, clearly, and my father, I call them by their first name. So I am super... They tell me all the time, like, you're so disrespectful. I'm like, so I'm one of those people. But I didn't like that she didn't have any other ideas. She just came back at the mm-hmm. the daughter and was like, no, I really want you to call me Umi. I need you to have like at least one more idea instead of bringing back the same, because you know that they didn't want to call you that and the reasons why. So at least mm-hmm. have another idea, like whether it's Shy, whatever, you know, something different, which is even more disrespectful because it's a nickname. But she should have had, I think, another, you know, like another idea versus like bringing back the same exact name, you know.
Except, you know, my mom's friends were auntie this or uncle that when I was mm-hmm. growing up, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's only mm-hmm. one person, and that was by their request why I didn't call them auntie so-and-so, because they were like, no, call me this. And if that's the case, then that's okay. But a child just called an adult by their first name?
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah, I think it also makes sense because they called their stepfather by his first name. I don't know. I don't have any other ideas. I was literally trying to think of some ideas. Like, what could they call her? I don't have any other ideas, honestly. Besides, it's a little too formal if they say Miss Shahida. That's too formal.
Daddy's third wife?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, what else is there? I don't even have any ideas. I don't know. I'm lost for them because I'm like, what else can they call her? Like, what else do they have? Because auntie, I know, I feel like auntie or auntie is very cultural because that's a very mm-hmm. African Caribbean thing.
Yes.
But also, I think it would be weird to call your stepmother auntie. Yeah. So even though she's an adult and in most other cultures, you call any adult auntie, uncle. I don't know. I don't have any other ideas for them. So I don't know. I think she's going to have to be Shahida.
You know, as we move to Chicago, since thank God we're out of Rapid City, South Dakota, at least for this week, we're probably back in Rapid City after this. But Jabri and Miona, mm-hmm. and is it me or is it really everything that this fight between David and Jabri is really about Jabri and not Miona? Because it seems like he's the problem and not her, really.
I think he is the problem. I think he doesn't know how to balance his career with his girl. And I think he is in limbo. And I don't think he really knows how to deal with Miona. But I don't think it's a Miona problem. I think it's really a him problem. I don't like the way that they were fighting, though. I don't like the way that he was trying to fight him so quickly, like physically fight. And first of all, didn't he give him a concussion? He talked about that before. Like, you're going to fight the guy that gave you a concussion and had you out? Like, that doesn't even make any sense. But I didn't like that he took it that far. So clearly, I think it's something deeper. I do think it's something deeper. I don't think it's about Miona. I think you're right.
Well, the other thing, too, is Jabri is not ready for real friends. Like, Jabri couldn't be friends with Terrell and I because we'd tell him the truth. We'd be like David and tell him the truth. Tell him what he needs to hear, not what he wants to hear. And it seems like he just wants to hear what he wants to hear.
I also feel like David is very annoying. He reminds me of Malibu's Most Wanted. You know how Jamie Kennedy was on Malibu's Most Wanted? Yeah. He gives me that vibe, like he's trying to be so hard and so down. I don't, it's something about him I don't like either. I'm like, really? their whole, it's something about him that I'm just not feeling. I do understand, but you have to be understanding, even if you don't like your best friend's partner, you have to be a little understanding, and there's a tone to it. So even though, you know, you and Tara would actually speak to your friends and let them know, but there's a tone to it. Like, the way his tone is to him is kind of like, get rid of this girl. And I just think there's a way to do it. Like, hey, are you sure about this? What do you, you know, are you sure? Do you need some more time? There's a way to kind of finesse the situation so you're not talking to your friend like, yo, I don't like this girl. So I don't know. I think he's doing a little too much.
But if you've already tried that easy approach and your friend still hasn't gotten it, maybe it's time to switch the approach. And maybe this is the switched approach because, you know, so think about this. Was it last week when we first got introduced to David formally and he had we found out he owned a trucking company. And the first thing I thought when he said that was, well, why doesn't Jabri work for him? And then David goes, you know, I told you could come and work for me. You should, you know, as a matter of fact, that truck over there, that's yours.
Yeah.
And Jabri didn't want to do it. So it's kind of like, He's tried to help him.
Yeah, yeah. And he just gives me very immature. He gives me very immature. He does it. It sounds like he doesn't want to have a real job. He doesn't want to bring... He only wants to just have fun, and he wants to be with his pretty girlfriend or pretty fiance and then make music. Like, he doesn't have real responsibility, and that's kind of clear. He doesn't even... Like you said, he has opportunities. He probably would rather live in his mother's house and just save up whatever money he's making. I don't even know where he's making money, but yeah. He's just a little too immature for me. And I actually like Miona. I just think that Jabri is just in a dream world and he just wants this beautiful woman who he knows that he knows he can't take care of her. He knows that she's going to get bored with him. She knows he knows this. And she knows this, too. She's going to be over him.
So my wife said something and I was like, you know what? You might be right. Didn't Miona pick the wrong guy? Maybe she should have picked David. David has his shit together. He's got his own trucking company. He's still a creative. Yeah. He's still in the band. And he speaks multiple languages.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, he does.
And he's got more swag than Jabri.
He does have more swag. I mean, for what she wants, she needs somebody that's going to spend some money on her. Mm-hmm. She wants that Kardashian lifestyle, but maybe that's why she picked the black guy, though, because, you know, the Kardashians, she looks like she's the one to be Kardashian. She's very cute, though, but she might have been like, you know, let me pick the black guy. So I do think there's something to that, though. I do think that she wanted to go after a black guy.
Well, you know, our internet sleuths have always gone digging into these couples and these individuals, and people have accused her of blackfishing because they say that, you know, she's making herself to look darker than she is and blacker features because, you know, she's got, you know, more African lips than Bianca, the black girl in the group.
She does. And she does. She's giving me brown. So I saw something too, and they said that her ancestry, when she did her ancestry DNA, that it was Mexican, like maybe indigenous Mexican, which I find it hard to believe on her side of the world for her background to have indigenous Mexicans. I don't know about that, but maybe she's just saying that so she can explain her brown, her little brown tone. But she strikes me as the girl that probably goes to the tanning salon at least once a week to keep it up. So she might be blackfishing a little bit, but I do think that it's the Kardashian thing is clearly there.
As we move to our favorite thruple, the only thruple on the show, Patrick, Thais, and John. Patrick seems to be trying to establish his power dynamic because obviously he's given that up because he's got this beautiful woman. Trying to understand, why does this give him so much anxiety, though?
So I think that his brother is instigating, and I do not like his brother. I do not like his brother. His brother's instigating, like, hey, you're going to make sure you take off that, take off the tracking, right? Hey, you're going to make sure you do this, right? He thinks he's slick, and he is going to be the downfall of their relationship. I'm telling you now, he is going to be the reason why she gets her butt on that plane back to Brazil. Or she's going to find somebody else here with more, that has it more together. I just don't like the dynamic of the household. I agree with her. He needs to go. Mm-hmm. John needs to go. But I just think that he's instigating. And I think that Patrick was fine with her controlling stuff, I feel like. I think it's John, like, hey, you're going to let her do that? You're going to let her do this? I think it's the brother. I don't think it's really him. Because even when he came to her at lunch or dinner, wherever they were, even when he came to her, he's like, so, yeah, so I'm not going to have tracking on it. He didn't even seem secure in what he was saying to me.
You know, the thing about it is, then we find out that little Patty here is a cheater, and that's why she's so jealous. Even though we can't say that's why she's jealous. That's why she has the right to be the way she is. Now, she doesn't have the right to be jealous. You shouldn't be jealous in a relationship. But he gave her reason to. And also explains why she didn't want them to have that party at the house.
Yep, I do get that. Okay, so what are your thoughts on the kiss thing? So this was, I know when they first met, they weren't engaged or anything. Is that like... was that just too far? Because when he said it was a kiss, it wasn't sex. I agree with him. Like, okay, it wasn't sex. Like, what are your thoughts?
You missed the other part that he said.
What is that?
The reason it wasn't sex is because he needed some blue chew. He couldn't get it up.
Oh, liquor, yeah, he did say that, yeah.
The liquor had the reverse effect on him that it has to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
When Biggie talked about the Hennessy, it didn't lay you down. It made you stand up. And that's the difference. With, you know, probably those drugs, illegal drugs he took when he was weightlifting that caused that to happen, which is why he had that reaction. But had every part of him been working, it would have gone the other way. So, and here's the thing. It's easy for us guys to say that when we're the ones doing wrong. But let's be honest. If she had kissed another guy,
oh, it would be the end of the world, because men cannot handle, like, you touch his arm, what? Men can't handle the simplest things. So I understand her getting upset about it, but it wasn't, okay, yes. He didn't go through with it because he, you know, his substances that he had, whatever he was drinking. I know it was a long time ago. The tracking thing is a bit much. The tracking thing is still a bit much. She's just not comfortable with him. But I don't think he would cheat on her with her there. He just doesn't strike me as the type, because she's so beautiful. And to her, I hated that she said it. She was like, the girl wasn't even cute. That was the funniest part to me. That was the funniest part to me. She was like, do you see me? And I now that was funny, because that's another thing. Like, you know, no one wants to be cheated on, but you really don't want to be cheated on with a girl that's unattractive. You really don't. If she's like because to me, she's so pretty. She's like a 10, a 9. She's really beautiful. I mean, of course, she's young, but so she should be, you know. She's beautiful. But yeah, you can't be cheating or kissing a 6 or a 5. Mm-hmm. You cannot do that, because that makes it even worse for women. So I think we do care about that. So that was the funniest part to me, which she was like, she's not even cute. So that was funny.
Which to me, when the girl showed up at the house for the house party, I'm like, well, she shouldn't be worried about this. She shouldn't be jealous because they're all ugly. And then remembered, wait a minute. He kissed an ugly girl before, so.
Yeah, that's his type. Maybe that's his type on the side, so you never know.
The side just got to be a little ugly.
See, and exactly. And so that's the thing. Like, yes, because the other girl was unattractive, yeah, you can't trust him around anybody. You can't even bring him around your 4 friends. Like, yeah. So, yeah, no, I get it. Now that we're talking about it, I get it now. Because, yes, like, now I can't even bring you around the cashier at Jiffy Lube now. So, yeah.
Like, look, trust me, she can whoop both eyes. It's okay. Right. But, you know, here's the thing about this, though. Especially, we keep calling it tracking, right? Mm-hmm. It's sharing locations.
Okay.
And if you are really into somebody, you have no problem sharing locations with that person. What are you trying to hide? And think about, here's the problem I had with him. His compromise was, but first of all, when he gave the gifts, it was hilarious that she thought it was a dead cat in there. I feel you, sis. I feel you. Like, what the hell? I mean,
right?
America does things differently. I mean, they let dogs sleep in the bed. I'm just saying.
Yeah. We do.
So she was a little like, hey, wait a minute. Then he offers up the lingerie, and then he gives her a phone. But the phone is like, if I give you this phone, then you got to take the sharing. I got to stop sharing my location. I'm like, really? And then if I do something wrong again, then I'll share my location. And I love the fact that she's like, you know what? No, if you do something wrong, you break my trust again, I'm going back to Brazil.
I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. That was fair because she gave him one chance. And now that she's there, like, he can't mess up. He needs to be on his P's and Q's. He really does. Because, yeah, she should leave. I don't really care for them together. I do like them. And I do think that they actually genuinely like each other or love each other. I get that vibe from her. Of course he's going to love her because she's freaking gorgeous. So I know he's going to love her even just off of the visual. He's going to be infatuated with her. On the other side, just like she said, like, no, you're too scared now. You're not, she said that, and he knows. Like, yeah, you go ahead and try it if you want to. Like, she's very much like, no, you're scared now. You're not going to leave. You're not going to mess up. So I don't know. He just has to deal with it. He's just gonna have to leave it on for a little bit. And I'm actually not too mad at it. Having someone like your significant other, if it's for safety. So my mom, I have her on mine. She does not I don't let her have my location, but it's for safety. Of course, because she's gonna be like, why aren't you at home? So now when she's looking at it, she's gonna see like, okay, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, she's not at home. She's gonna complain. And she's gonna constantly look. So if it's your significant other, if they're gonna be constantly looking to check in,
right,
then that's a problem. Like, if they're constantly looking. Now, if it's something where, okay, he said he was gonna be home at 5, it's now 7 o'clock, I'm concerned. Then I'm looking. That's fair. So I do feel like it's fair. But if she's just gonna sit there and just check all day when she, like, he says he's at work, then that's a problem.
It reeks of he feels being controlled, but that's because you messed up and you made it that case. And then now the other part is, what else are you trying to do? I know John's always trying to do some other stuff. It feels like John is just jealous. But here's the one thing I like about Thais. She's very headstrong in the fact of, if this goes wrong, I'm going home. And I like that, because people rode her through the gutters last week because she wasn't happy with the new house that she knew nothing about.
I agree with that. She's very headstrong. I do like that she speaks her mind about everything, even though it did seem like she was ungrateful. She was. I do think she was ungrateful, but at least she speaks her mind, and I appreciate her speaking her mind. She's not going to let anything go. And a lot of women, they're not going to say anything for a long time, and then everything is just going to blow up in their face. So I do appreciate that she's like, hey, I don't like him here. Why is John here? Hey, I don't like this. Why is this happening? Okay, he has this whole floor to himself. Why? I like that she at least speaks her mind, because she can hold it in, and then months later she's going to go off on him and go off on John.
So two things in that, right? Because Terrell says that, yes, she had to have seen pictures of the house prior to, because obviously this didn't just happen over the span of a week. And, you know, he must have sent her pictures. I'm like, apparently he didn't. Because if you told her, here's where we're moving to, what do you think? Because if it's the two of you moving, it's no longer your decision. When you're deciding to make a life with somebody, it's no longer my decisions anymore. It's our decisions, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where I have a problem, where I feel she has the right to go, yeah, no, I don't like this because this, and nitpick all you want because he did this without you.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
The other part about it too is in the fact that, why is John moving with them? And my wife brought up the fact that, hey, he needs help paying for the house. I'm like, well, then don't buy almost $1 million house.
If it's about money, that's one thing. But yes, to your point, you need to get a house that you can afford on your own, or when she starts working, if she is going to work. I don't like the idea of him moving there. And I get the whole backstory of like, oh, you know, it seems like they almost kind of have a trauma bond, him and his brother. Like, they have a trauma bond. So it's like, I need him here, and it's hard being alone. John doesn't seem like he would have any problem being alone. I'm just saying, his personality strikes me as the type that he's not going to have any. He doesn't strike me as the type that would have a big issue about being alone. I don't like him there because he speaks up too much. And I feel like he speaks up too much about her. And I just feel like he's too involved and he's an instigator. And I do feel like he needs to cut the cord. They are too old. John needs to find a girlfriend. I don't know if he has a girlfriend or not, but if he doesn't, he needs to find one. I just think he's too involved in their relationship.
He may have to get rid of that thing on his lip first before he gets a girlfriend, though.
Yeah, yeah.
That ain't happening with that there.
Right.
Unless she's got a matching one.
Right.
You know,
that is too funny.
Kiara and Guillermo, you know, and I love the fact that they're finally showing that Guillermo is from Caracas, Venezuela, not from Dominican Republic, because he just happened to be living there. That's where they met. But you know, it made me really question, why didn't they have this discussion about the wedding long before? And why does this man feel like he wants a big wedding when he has absolutely no money to contribute to it?
I mean, I thought that that was crazy. And then when she asked his budget and he said $2,000, I was like, I know this kid. First of all, he is a kid. Literally, that's what I felt. And this was the first time that I was on her side, because the way she was like, yes. What? This was the first time that I was okay with her tone. I was okay with everything, because she was like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the one time that I agree with her. I agree with her tone, everything.
Yep.
He's in a dream world. And also, does he even have $2,000?
No, he said he had to. That's how much he had, which is why that was his budget. He said he had $2,000.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't know. I just don't buy it. But yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And then also, why would you want to spend all of your money on that? Like, that's what you want to spend all of your money on? So I like the idea of what she said. Like, hey, let's just go to the courthouse, pay this $50, and then maybe next year. But then, you know, to his point, like, next year is going to be a baby. It's going to be a house. It's going to be other things. Who cares about the wedding? Like, who cares? I think people put too much emphasis on the actual wedding than the marriage. So I just feel like they just need to get married. I think they need to be practical. And I just think he's in a dream world. I think he really is on this. I came to America and I want this big wedding. I want everything big. We need to do it big in America. And I just think that he is. He's also, what, 23? He's a baby.
Yeah.
So, but they're both, to me, babies. Like, they're both babies. She's a little mature, but I just feel like they're both so young. So, He really realized how much these weddings really cost. I don't think he clearly had no clue. No clue.
That's when she showed her maturity. But and it's mostly just understanding what the cost of living is here in the States that he had no idea of, right? And we'll see that later when we get to Emily and Kobe. But with Guillermo and Cara, she showed her maturity here in this when she said, okay, you know what? Well, let's go look at a spot. And I like the fact that she did that. Because,
Same. Yeah,
you're right. Her tone at first is like, you don't know what the you're talking about, right?
Uh-huh.
But then said, you know what? Okay, well, let's go look. And let's see what the prices are. And because he's like, oh, I love this. I would cry here. And, da, 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 da. And then she's like, how much?
Yep.
Oh. And she gave him the opportunity to learn. But the thing that came to me after that, in that same conversation, he's like, yes, okay, you were right. But the problem is I feel like you always make the decisions for us and you never include me.
Mm-hmm.
And you make the decision, I just feel like I have to go along with it.
Okay,
and she's like, well, I'm going to go anyway. So and if we don't go, everybody's going to know because of you. And I think that's very selfish of her, because now she's still thinking in me. And which everybody needs to understand, if you're planning to get married, you got to start thinking in we, not me. Turn the M upside down.
Yep, absolutely. I do think that she is growing a bit more this episode. She, you know, to your point, she has grown in how she's talking to him, how she speaks to him, that she was willing to show him. But they're going to have to figure out the social life thing, because it's very clear that she is a party girl. They're going to have to figure out the social life. I don't care for her friends being so invasive and asking so many questions and being judgy with him. So she's going to have to balance out a little more and maybe not hang out as much. And it's okay if it's him or whoever. You don't have to say anything. You could just say, hey, I'm not going out tonight. So if they have a problem with it, they have a problem with him. That's their deal. I think she's putting too much emphasis on her social life and her friends.
Well, she's been, you know, this wild child for the longest time. You know, flirting from flower to flower to flower. Again, she didn't have a real relationship since high school till she met this guy. I mean, she didn't mean to have one with him. Then she accidentally fell into one. Because he said it was tequila time.
Exactly.
The magic word, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have strong faith in those two. I don't have faith in those two. I think that she's still, even though she's better and she's growing, that controlling, I think that is going to start bothering him a little bit too much. I think it's going to start bothering him. But, you know, I see them trying to make strides. So I do appreciate that this episode, that they're making a few little strides to, like, being better and communicating better and not being so controlling, because she's not my favorite.
Yeah, well, there are a lot of not favorites and a lot of controlling going on in these last three couples, because, you know, with Karen and Guillermo, you know, a lot of controlling there, but none as much as Muhammad and Eve. And oh, my goodness. Even though I will say Muhammad is starting to make a little more sense to me. And that's almost kind of scary, because he did kind of say that he made it clear to her before that this is what to expect. And she's like, well, no, not exactly.
I think like she said, it felt more like a vacation when they were together. Yeah. I don't understand why these women think that they're going to marry Muslim men and think that they're just going to act like their normal American lives and like be outside and have their bikinis on. I don't understand this world, why they think that that's okay. And why they think that they can just don't marry or don't engage with a man of certain types of religions where, you know, they're not going to budge on this. He's not budging. You can tell he's not budging.
Yeah.
He's very serious about like, no, you can't be with a man by themselves. You can't have a bikini on. You can't dress like this. You need to be home at a decent hour. She should know this. And I think he was honest. I think he was legit. Like, we've talked about this several times. You've come to me four times, I think he said. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he said his piece. And I do think that he is very strong about it. And I don't know. I don't know if she's going to be able to deal with it, though. I don't think she's going to change. I don't know.
And if she does not want to do what I want her to do, then I will have to go back to Egypt. I will not make it past the 90 days.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about those two.
Oh, they're dead. It's not happening. I mean, but and you know, I really was, he seemed so dependent on her. But then yeah. I like the fact that he's still so strong in his faith that he yes. goes, if this is not what you want, and I've told you this already, if this is not what you want,
yeah,
I'm not going to stay here. I'm going back home.
Yeah. Yeah. And he can find a woman that will be do exactly what he needs and follow whatever cultural norms and religious norms. I do agree with him as far as like her. I don't like her friends. I feel like they're doing a little too much too. You know, I don't know. I just feel like there is a way to tell your friends anything about their significant other. I'm very careful with that. So even with my friends, if I don't like their significant other, I don't say it, because guess what? I say it, they're going to tell their man. And then now I can't hang out with them because their man doesn't want me around.
Right.
So I don't think they really realize, like, Eve, let's say she goes through with it. Eventually she's going to stop hanging out with them because he's going to say, no, they don't like me. Like, I don't want you around them. They don't like me. So I do that to this day. My mother always said that, like, never talk bad about somebody's husband or boyfriend or whatever, because they're going to stay with them. And then you're not going to be friends with them anymore, because now they're not allowed, because they're going to tell that man, like, you know, Susie and Lisa don't like you, or they said this. So I do feel like she's letting her friends interject a little too much in their relationship. I do feel like, at the same time, though, I do feel like she probably will lose herself a little bit socially, how she dresses. She has to change. She's going to have to change. She's marrying a Muslim man. She's going to have to change. And if she's not willing to do that, then that's going to be a problem. And if her friends aren't going to be okay with it, then they're just going to have to separate.
But that's what happens when you adopt a headstrong older son. That's exactly right. What happens.
Yeah. Yes, with the extra son in the house, she's going to have to change. She's going to have to make some changes. And she's going to have to deal with it. Her friends are going to have to deal with it if they want her in their lives.
Very true. You know, this couple right here, I think, I feel for Kobe. As we get to Emily and Kobe in Salina, Kansas, I feel for Kobe. I mean, why does Emily have him riding the horse with an American flag? Like, you know, maybe if he wasn't carrying the flag around, then he wouldn't need to use that helmet, that silly helmet for this slow crawl around the paddock that they're doing, because it's not even at a jog, not even a gallop, but Jesus.
I thought they were going to be, like, riding for real. Then when I was like, oh, it's a pony ride, I was like, okay, this is literally... I thought it was literally like they were going to be jumping over fences and stuff. And then I was like, oh, it's literally like the girl is holding it, walking around. It's literally a pony ride. So yeah, that was funny. That was funny. This is the couple that I am like, please don't do it. Please don't do it. I do not want him to marry her. I want him to be around his son, and I need him to figure out another way to get a green card, because I want him to be in his son's life.
Yes.
She ain't it. She's not it. She's not it.
Now, I'm not a dog owner. You are. I'm not even a dog lover. You are.
Uh-huh.
But tell me if I'm seeing this incorrectly. But the way Emily's mom was grooming the dog, I need Peter to go and rescue that dog immediately.
It was so cute. I was literally looking at it like, oh, look at her grooming her dog. I thought it was cute. She treats that dog definitely like a child. And the way that the dog was looking at her, he was just looking up at her face. He loves her. You know, I am a dog, but my dog is right here right now. I'm not grooming him. I'm not, you know, combing his hair right now. But yes, I am a dog person. But I thought it was too cute. But you could tell they are like, that's their other child.
That dog has not been groomed in a long time, looking at that dog's fur. That's why the dog was looking at her like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop it.
Yeah, she was doing a lot. She was definitely getting through all the tangles.
That's why I'm like, the dog seemed terrified. Like, please stop. No, seriously. I know the camera's here. Stop.
Right.
The other thing that really got me though is how does Emily's dad expect Kobe to prove that he can provide for the family when he knows he can't work?
Exactly. That always bothers me about all of the couples. Yeah, I do understand trying to get into his background. Like, what is your educational background? What is your technical background? I do appreciate that conversation. Yes. Mm-hmm. I need him to also have this conversation with his daughter.
He knows all the answers.
Right, he does. Because I'm like, how is your daughter going to work? Like, you're putting so much emphasis just on him. But because this is America, everybody in the household works.
Mm-hmm.
So I need the emphasis to be on both of them together. Really, it should have been a conversation maybe with the two of them. Hey, yes. What do you guys plan on doing? What do you plan on doing? What do you plan on doing? It's always the emphasis on the man who is just moving here. So I do appreciate, like, I got, you know, an idea more of his background, you know, his civil engineering. Him thinking that he can run this man's company was a little, you know, not realistic. Yeah. But I do appreciate him, like, hey, this is what I do. This is what I can do. I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do either. I mean, he has the dad bod now, so I don't think he can do the underwear modeling anymore. So I think he's going to have to figure that out. I love the mustache and then the no mustache. And the like. He keeps changing his look from the mustache to the no mustache. He looks different every time I see him. So that's always funny to me, too. But I don't know. I could see him working hard. I don't know what he's going to do, but he seems like the type that will work hard in whatever he does.
You know, the thing that bothered me the most, though, and why I felt like he didn't need to be in Salina, Kansas, is because when the mom, the dad, and Emily sat down, Emily and the mom told part of the story, right? Mm-hmm. They gave the piece of the story and left out the part of her nagging the crap out of him. And
exactly.
It just made it feel like he just told her to shut the fuck up because he just felt like that.
Yeah, exactly. And I didn't like that either. They didn't give the full story. Because I said to the screen when I watched the last week's episode, I said to the screen, shut the F up. I was like, I wish this girl would shut the F. Like, literally, I said it before he even said it.
Right.
So I think we were all feeling it. She was nagging him so bad. I'm just like, I felt so bad for him. Also, like, because last week the mom did make a comment. She was like, I know that she's like, you know, she likes to be the boss. And so it's like, they know that. But then they just like gave that a pass just because he said, or just because he cursed at her. Now, I think because he's black, it came off a little more hard. I feel like if he was a white man or a European man, they would have still felt some type of way. But I think it's like, no, this big black man said shut the F up to my daughter. I do feel there's a little of that. I don't feel like it would have been as bad if it was a European man from Uzbekistan, whatever. You know, like, I don't know. I just made that up. Like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like there's something to it where they're like, hey, I don't like this tone. I don't like where this is going. Like, almost like it's going to be some like abusive type of situation. I'm not saying anything about racism. I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like they overdid it. The way that she was nagging him, she needed to be told to be quiet. At a minimum, I need you to be quiet, lady. Like, so I wasn't mad at him. I understand the dad would get upset because also that's his house. So now I do understand that, like, if I was him, I would have totally said, like, this is my house. Don't talk to my daughter like that. I don't care what she does. Don't talk to my daughter like that. That is fair. But I don't know. Yeah. But I don't think he was. I'm going to say this. I don't think he was wrong to tell her.
And at the same time, he should have a conversation with her and tell her, hey, you've got to let this man be a man.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the thing that she was missing. But clearly she runs the household. So she runs. She runs her parents as well. So that's very clear. So he's probably already a beta male anyway, because I bet you the women in the house, they run him probably too. So, but I'm sure he felt like he had to say something to him. He had to say something about the tone or just like, you know, what is he doing? But yeah, I didn't like that. They didn't give the full story, the full, you know, and they know their daughter. Like, let's be real. They should know their daughter. And they probably wouldn't say the same thing to her sometimes, I'm sure. So I don't know. I'm over her. Like, she's, to me, she is the one. I want Kobe to be around his son, but I don't want him to feel like he has to marry her just for that.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing, though, you made a great point in the fact that The dad should have had the conversation with both of them for the simple mm-hmm. fact of, there are a couple of things here. One, just for this, stop the nagging. So, and you don't ever talk to my daughter like that again, because yep. mm-hmm. as a girl dad, that's going to be me. And that yeah. I'm the one that's bringing the hammer down every time. Don't you talk yep. to my daughter like that. Mm-hmm. but at the same time, here it is. And I don't know why this seems to be the case. Every time a couple is come, you know, the 90-day fiancé couples never think about this part. What are you going to do? You know you can't work for 6 months to a year, maybe mm-hmm. even longer, especially since the pandemic. Mm-hmm. What are you going to learn to do? What are you going to do once this is over to earn income? You can't think of just the show. The show is cool, but what else are you going to do? If mm-hmm. it's a trade, well, let's get you in school. How are we going to do this so that by the time you get your work permit, you get your green card and you're able to work, you get your permanent resident alien card and you're mm-hmm. able to work, that you have a skill that you can put into effect and actually earn some money, because you're not going to just get a job that's going to pay you. We already know the jobs that yep. are out there that are just ready to go, they're minimum wage.
And absolutely.
They grind you to death and you don't really make anything.
Yep. Yep. I think you're right. I don't think that a lot of those couples think about that ahead of time, because maybe even, I don't know what the situation is as far as a student visa, like maybe they can do online school to learn something while they're going through the process. Mm-hmm. Just, they do need to think about that. Like, okay, do I need to start school somewhere? Can I go to yes. school? Also, I never really hear them talk about what they're doing before they actually get here for the 90 days. Like, did you save up a lot of money? What were you doing before then? How much money are you coming here with? I haven't really heard that from most couples. They never really talk about, for the most part, most of the couples don't talk about, how much did you save before you came here? And that's my biggest thing. I wouldn't want to move to another country and only have $2,000. Like, I'm going to be working my butt off. If I'm a waiter or a bartender, I'm going to be working my butt off saving everything. So when I get to America, I have something so that in case anything happens, because you literally are relying on this other person for your livelihood to eat. Like, if Emily's family, for example, didn't want to pay for their food, what would they eat?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't think that they go, like, I don't think it's about 90 Day Fiancé. The show doesn't get into it. I don't think that these couples are even having these conversations. So yeah, I do think you're right. I think they need to have better conversations ahead of time. What are you going to do? Because it's always after the fact, like, oh, how are we going to make money? Especially because mm-hmm. as we're seeing, most of these women don't want to work.
Here's the thing though, to Kobe's point, he did have $4,000 saved up, right?
Okay, yes, yes.
he had double the two. But,
yep.
But and he said $4,000 in Cameroon would last a year with an apartment and food and everything else. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But one of the things you didn't think about was, what's the cost of living in the States?
Exactly. I think a lot of these couples, I still think they come over here like, oh, we're going to be taken care of. I still also think that because they're on the show, like you mm-hmm. when you brought up, like, you can't just rely on the show money, because I'm pretty sure they don't get paid that much. Now, the after, it's like how you finesse it after the fact. And I do feel like a lot of these couples come on the show thinking like, oh, I'm going to be like Big Ed or, you know, some of these other couples that are making buku money, or Usman or anybody. And I don't know if he's making buku money, but, you know, I think, but at least he's like still making money outside of it. I think a lot of these couples are kind of looking at it like, I'm going to do this show and I'm going to finesse and make all this money. So, I don't think they're thinking about real life. They're just thinking about the opportunity of being on the show and how it's going to open up so many doors, which it will open up doors. Because I do, for example, I think that Benny is going to be an MMA fighter just because he was on the show. So I do think it opens up doors, but they need to be realistic and have some type of like, they have like, what is your background? What are you doing? What were you doing to make money before? What are you going to do when you get here if it doesn't work and you don't become the most popular couple on the show?
Exactly. And speaking of Benny, and we get to see next week because he gets his first fight. Oh my God, this is going to be interesting.
Was it you that said he was bad, or was it Tara? One of you all said that he wasn't good.
It was me. I've seen him on the bag, but then you see him in the ring. It'd be great to see whether he's improved. I mean, they showed a clip, and you see him, you know, doing to start the match, jumping across the ring for a kick. So this will be interesting to see how this turns out.
Okay. I already know that Ari's going to be like, oh, he's all bloody. I don't think that's going to work out for him. Well, but he'll be able to be in some different, you know, competitions though, I'm sure. Just off of who he is. He needs to just be a dancer. I told you he needs to do Cirque du Soleil. I don't know why he doesn't do Cirque du Soleil or the other circuses. I think he'll be great at that, but we'll see what he ends up doing to make some money for real.
Yeah, next week we'll be right back here. 90 Day Fiancé, Season 9, Episode 10. Tell will be back. We'll see whether he actually got casted or not for Baywatch. I'm going to assume no. But that's just me. That's not me hating. That's just me as a friend telling him the truth.
Right. It's all about tone.
was that a bad tone or was that just realistic tone?
No, I think it was realistic. I think it was good. It wasn't like some of these couples. I think that was the good friend tone.
I'll be honest. I've seen some of the comments on his Facebook page. Like, somebody like, hey, whoever the hell was drowning is already gone. You might as well turn around and go back. Hey, somebody else was like, you know what? You're better off just yelling at them, telling them, hey, stop drowning. You have a better chance of saving them that way.
Was that somebody else or was that your comment or was that somebody else's comment?
I swear it wasn't my comment. I swear it wasn't mine. I swear. It just sounds like something I would say.
Right.
That's why I remember them so well.
That is so funny.
Lexi, appreciate you hanging out with us again and and picking up the slack for Taro while he's slouching off in Cancun.
Yes. Well, I thank you so much for having me. It's always great to have a conversation with people that I know in real life that I can talk about this show because, yeah, on my Instagram stories, I get some of the comments, but I don't know folks. So it's really good to talk to real life people back and forth. And I love it.
And for you and for everybody else who does have Discovery Plus, Love in Paradise is back. So I just checked that out today. It looks like it's going to be an interesting one this time.
All right. I'm going to do it today. Is it on all episodes? Did they drop them all at the same time?
Unfortunately, they're not Netflix. It's still Discovery Plus.
That was the thing with the and that's the thing. It's hard for me to keep up with shows on streaming platforms that launch on a weekly basis. Okay, exactly. Maybe I'll wait a couple weeks so that way I can just watch three episodes at a time.
You know what? Netflix spoiled it for all of us. We all want to binge watch. I'm right there with you. I think I'm going to skip it a little bit, and then come back and catch it later.
Yep. Damn, I thought I was going to do that all day today. But yeah, I'll have to find another show.
I just ruined your day. My bad.
You did.
Hey, don't forget, we're right back here again next Sunday. And of course, Monday, we'll be back with our regular episode. That's next Monday, not this Monday. And that'll be the audio episode. And Tuesday, we'll drop the video. And remember, we do have that deal with the devil that Terrell has going right now. We get to 2,000 subscribers. We're back for season 15. Of Married at First Sight San Diego. So we have until July 5th to get to that 2,000. I know we can do it. We can do it by next week. Matter of fact, we can do it this week. Absolutely. Really and truly. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell another friend. Everybody subscribe. And then we'll just lock Terrell in. And if we get there early enough, we can lock him into another deal. Trust me. It's going to be easy.
Yep.
I just need prayer warriors unite. Let's make this happen.
Yes. Y'all got it.
Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Lexi with the curls.
Hey, make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell,
at Lexi with the curls,
and at RGRT Pod.